Bible says there's none of us are treated as we deserve. God is super fair to us. I've got two readings to begin our time together this morning, and they're both passages that help us to reflect on restoring relationships and God's counterintuitive way where weakness becomes strength. And the first of these is taken from the book of Proverbs, and it's Proverbs chapter 38 and verse 8 and 9, in which scripture says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." That's Proverbs 31. And in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to Luke, in Luke chapter 6, and reading from verse 27, we hear Jesus say this: "I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you, and if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." If we are called to love those who have wronged us, then what about those who have not wronged us, but over whom we have power and influence? Those folks who rely on us purchasing the crops they grow and the food and the clothing they produce, are our trading relationships, relationships of love. Over the past 2.5 years since the referendum on membership of the European Union, we've all become much, much more aware of just how important our trading matters are, how much trade matters to our daily lives. And we've become very aware of how many jobs and government policies and the goods we buy and the services we enjoy, how many of these are linked to trade, both here in the UK and in the countries of the European Union and right around the world. And it seems to me we can think about trade in two ways, at least two ways. Firstly, trade is a way for everyone to have better lives. Without trade, we could not eat bananas, or, as we're doing this morning, drink tea or coffee. Without trade, many jobs would simply not exist. Trade is cooperation and partnerships that helps us all. I suppose the second point about trade, as we begin this morning, is that trade is a tough business. Negotiations are hard fought. No one wants to come out with a bad trade deal. To arm wrestle successfully in a trade negotiation, you need big economic and political muscles. And we know that as a European Union member, the UK has automatically been part of about 40 different international trade agreements, which the EU has with around 70 other countries. And in 35 days' time, We know that if the UK leaves the EU without a deal, then we will lose all of these trade deals immediately. And so far, only six, what are rather small, continuity agreements have been struck with Israel, with Palestine, with Switzerland, with the Faroe Islands, with Eastern and Southern Africa, and then most recently with Chile. Only six out of the 40. There are no trade agreements yet with any of our major trading partners. And that's concerning, because trade is important, and trade deals are important. And to have what's considered a good trade deal, you have to be able to negotiate from a position of power. It's just a fact. So when you're trading with poorer communities around the world, it's right to ask two questions. Firstly, who in that relationship has got the power? Or, if you like, who's got the biggest muscles? And then secondly, are those people we trade with opponents and competitors, or are they friends and partners? Here in the UK at the moment, we're still a relatively powerful country, and we have the power of our wallets. And we can choose a relationship of love when we buy in ways that are fair, ways which help to rebalance the scales of trade justice. We have the power of being a citizen of a powerful country. We can choose a relationship of love by telling our politicians that we want to see living incomes for everyone with whom we trade. We have the power to refuse to exert the power. We can choose a relationship of love when we refuse to accept trade which exploits other people. And some of the places with which we trade are places that are most affected by climate change. And in these countries, the farmers don't have the money to invest in adapting to climate change, then crops will become harder and harder to grow and more expensive to produce. So it's almost as if paying fair prices now to farmers in other countries helps to keep our shopping bill down in the future. In our interconnected world, we can't isolate ourselves from the damage that we do to others. Instead, if we show relationships of love, which Jesus commands us to do, then we will connect with other people and build up our common life. This year, the Fairtrade Foundation in the UK are putting the spotlight on the Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast. It's the world's biggest cocoa producer. There are 4 million people across the Côte d'Ivoire who grow cocoa, and much of that cocoa at present comes to the UK. And yet, shockingly, 60% of all the cocoa farmers live below the United Nations poverty line of just £1.47 a day. So who's got the power in these trading relationships just now? It certainly doesn't look like the farmers. So why is trade something we're talking about this month in our last Sunday service? Well, as we said at the beginning, today is the start of Fair Trade Fortnight. And churches have been supporting fair trade for the past 70 or 80 years, particularly over the past 40 years, through Tradecraft, which is a founder of the European Fair Trade Association, and particularly over the past 25, 26, 27 years through the Fair Trade Movement. The current Fair Trade Movement really shaped in Europe in the 1960s, and it's enjoyed increasing support from the European Union since its founding, and the founding of the Fair Trade Foundation in 1992. The first fair trade product in 1992 was coffee. It was Cafe Direct, still on sale in the shops. 2 years later, the fair trade mark that we're pretty familiar with now was launched. Today the brand's best known for coffee and tea and chocolate and bananas. But the product range has grown tremendously in recent years in response to consumer demand. And so fair trade certification now covers amazingly 4,500 different products. And that includes dozens of new products like fresh fruit and dried fruit and juices and cereals and vegetables, nuts and oil and herbs and spices, even vanilla pods, sports balls, clothing, and even gold. And that means that thousands of farmers and workers have the opportunity to benefit from fairer terms of trade and invest additional income from fair trade sales in developing their businesses and improving their lives and the lives of the folks in their communities. And when you look at fair trade today, what you see is that people are at the heart of fair trade, and there are over 1.66 million farmers and workers who are spread across more than 73 countries who are producing fair trade goods. This morning, later on, we're going to hear about some fair trade cocoa farmers and find out more about the challenges they face. But first, I thought, let's test our knowledge. I want to take you back in time, very briefly. I want to take you back in time. And imagine that we're travelling back thousands of years to a time before Jesus was born. And we're going to imagine what it was like to be to live in the Middle East and to be poor at the time. If you lived in the Middle East thousands of years ago and you were poor, maybe living in Assyria or someplace like that, you wouldn't have had any land of your own. You would always have gone from place to place looking for work. You would be journeying farm labourer. And it would be a hard life. You'd never know from day to day whether you'd be offered work. And even when you're hired for the day, the farmers would cheat you more often than not. Or they'd pay you late, or they wouldn't pay you at all. And if you're not paid fairly, you don't have enough to eat, and many nights you would go to sleep hungry. And the farmers understood, but they didn't care. But then in your wandering, you enter the land that belongs to the tribes of the people of Israel. And as you go into their land, you find that things are a bit different from the neighbouring lands. Because they've got a law which says you must be paid a fair wage. And they've got a law that says you must be paid on time each day. And they've got other laws to protect foreigners. It's part of their religion. And you might have come from Assyria or one of the other lands around about the land of Israel. And you might have come from a nation where the people were fighting wars with the Israelite tribes over the years. You might even follow one of the false gods. You might follow the Baals or the Asherahs and not the God of Israel. But you come into Israel and the people still treat you fairly. And in the Old Testament, the Bible says that Moses was given a set of rules by God. And they cover a lot of things, from laws to protect poor people and laws to protect foreigners. And here's one of these laws which could have made a difference if you were someone poor coming into the land of Israel. Deuteronomy 24 says, "Don't take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor and counting on it." That kind of law might have been a hard law for people to follow. The farmers who had to pay the wages were often very poor themselves. But although it was hard, the rules that Moses wrote down, rules given to him by God, said that treating everyone fairly, whatever your differences, was an important part of serving God. So finally, let's come right back to the present day and meet a farmer. His name is Ebrotie Tano Florentin. He's from a country in Africa, which we've referred to already, the Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire. And Côte d'Ivoire is the biggest grower of cocoa in the world. And if you like eating chocolate, you've probably eaten cocoa grown in Côte d'Ivoire. So here's a picture of him, hopefully. Have we got a picture of him? Maybe not. No. There's three pictures. Yeah. It's there someplace. Anyway, this is, next picture. Yeah. He gave an interview with the Fairtrade Foundation last year. This is what he said. He said, "My name is Ibrotie Tano Florentin, and I'm a cocoa farmer. I'm married, and I have 6 children. The cocoa prices are disastrous." He said, "You end up after costs with around £811 for a year. And when a farmer gets up in the morning, he's always worried. How will he be able to feed and take care of his family? How can he send his children to school?" And they went on to say, "It's going to be difficult to pay for their school and their medical care. A child needs protection and rights. Before, this protection did not exist, but now with fair trade, the situation's improved. And a child is entitled to have access to education and health and protection and food." And when Fairtrade spoke to him last year, he was worried about climate change. He said, "Before, there were lots of forests, and the rains were regular, and the seasons were well divided. It was easier. Now we don't know anymore when we should plant and when we should stop. Climate change has an impact on our crops, which results in less money and less food being available." And finally, commenting on his experience with Fairtrade, he said, "Now we're in the Fairtrade project, and we've access to training. And someone who's trained is someone who can decide. So today, the training that Fairtrade provides gives us knowledge about plant diseases and how to improve our productivity. There are 5 million farmers in the Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire, who suffer and who struggle to survive. There's no minimum income, and if someone does not have enough money to survive, what can he or she do? If the situation doesn't change," he said, "I think people will stop cocoa farming because the incomes are too low. If the consumers are satisfied but the farmers suffer, the future is very uncertain." So as we hear his words, listening to him, I understand a little better how hard it is for many farmers who grow food that we eat every day. 60% of all the cocoa farmers in Côte d'Ivoire live below that poverty level of £1.47 a day. And although it's thousands of years since these verses from the Old Testament which you read were written, it looks like matters today are just the same. How we treat the people who grow our food is important. We are commanded to treat them fairly, even though they might live far away in another country. Did you notice Ibrotie explaining how fair trade had been improving things? When we buy fair trade, chocolate, bananas, coffee, tea, it means that extra money, the premium that we pay, goes to help these farmers, and they in turn help their communities. This year, Fairtrade will be increasing the prices that are paid to farmers to make even more of a difference. And Fairtrade helps in other ways too. They support farmers on the ground with training and advice. And that all happens when folks like you and me choose to buy Fairtrade. So what can we do? We can choose to buy Fairtrade. We can pray. And we can join in petitions to campaign so that our government trades fairly with other countries and other farmers around the world. Changing things is not easy. It takes time and effort, but we can all help. And if we listen to what Scripture tells us about how we should treat other people, if we think carefully about what we buy and whether it's been produced fairly, that will make a big impact. We can tell businesses and governments that we want to buy fairly traded goods, and we can pray for ourselves, for our own nation, for people around the world who grow our food, who make our clothes, or produce other things we consume. So Fairtrade Fortnight starts tomorrow. Look out.
participate, tell other people about it. We'll sing and we'll uplift our offering, and then we'll have a short prayer and finish our time together.